From the City of Angels, near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, the battle against reptilians. Oh boy, here's what's happening. In Philadelphia, that suspect is now in custody after hours-long ordeal that left six officers wounded. The suspect linked to Wednesday's hours-long standoff in Philadelphia has just surrendered to authorities just after midnight Thursday, exiting the residence with his hands in the air and with a police light shining on him, surrounded by a cloud of tear gas. The dramatic shootout in Philadelphia stretched on for hours. Six officers were wounded. Two officers and three hostages were later freed, apparently unhurt. The suspect has been identified as 36-year-old Maurice Hill of Philadelphia. Hill has a long record of gun-related convictions and of attempting to evade arrest. Ron Barber, who heads up Line of Duty, which is a police training company based out of St. Louis, Missouri, is our go-to guy for these police-related stories. Ron, what is this? I mean, just a couple days ago, a highway patrol officer in Los Angeles was shot. What's happening?
Well, George, to me, this is another example of two critical points. Number one, thank God for great cops who go into harm's way thousands of times a day to protect us. And number two, George, our criminal justice system continues to be an abysmal failure when it comes to removing the worst scum from polite society. Now, number one, my guess is most Americans never saw the video clip a few days after the horrors in El Paso and Dayton, in which literally thousands of average, ordinary folks panicked en masse, George,
sure,
and ran in terror after they heard what seemed to be gunshots in Times Square in New York. Did you happen to see the clip?
Yep, I sure did.
Okay, well, the video showed mass panic, and what they were all doing, George, was running from the sounds of what they thought was gunfire. It turned out to be a backfiring motorcycle. Now, the point I make here is that absolutely our most common reaction in such scenarios, gunfire or anything resembling it, is to run in abject terror as fast and far away from the danger as we can. Can most of us even begin to imagine actually running towards the danger? Yet that's what cops do, George, thousands and thousands of times every day. Imagine a job where your very life can turn deadly in literally a count of 1,001 or 1,002.
Now, well, within 30 seconds, they took that kid in Dayton, Ohio, who killed nine, out of the picture. Within 30 seconds because of police.
But here, keep this in mind, too, that within 32 seconds, he had killed or wounded 26 people. No police force on the face of the earth, unless they'd been sitting in this guy's lap, could have stopped that. Now, number two, I am parroting a statement I have made not once, but literally hundreds of times over the years when it comes to cop shooters, George. This subject, 36-year-old Maurice Hill, as you said, had a lengthy history of gun convictions and resisting attempts to bring him to justice. He'd been arrested a dozen times since turning 18, convicted six times on charges that involved illegal possession of guns, drug dealing, and aggravated assault. He spent time in federal prison. In 2008, he pleaded guilty to federal firearms violations after he was caught, George, with a Smith & Wesson 357 and later a Taurus PT 45 semi-automatic. Now, the murderer of the young CHP officer earlier this week was again committed by another convicted felon who by law was not supposed to have any weaponry. Now, does anyone in his or her right mind think a career lowlife would abide by any gun law ever written or any new gun law being proposed? There's no way. The only way to stop gun crimes like this, George, are to remove the career criminals from the street permanently and to jack up the dealers in stolen guns who are the pipelines. Get them off the streets permanently, too.
Well said. Ron Barber, his website, lineofduty.com. www.thepacificocean.com. He trains police officers all around the planet on situations like we had in Philadelphia tonight. Thanks, Ron. Stocks and oil prices plummeting with the Dow Jones Industrial tumbling 800 points. It's the fourth largest daily point drop on record and the worst this year as increasing global recession fears drove Wall Street investors to the safety of U.S. government debt. And, of course, Macy's cut its full-year earnings forecast after missing estimates for quarterly profit for the first time in 2 years as it discounted merchandise heavily just to clear its spring inventory. Its shares plummeted as much as 18%. The Internet's doing a lot there. Let's check in with registered investment advisor Mish Shedlock here. Mish, you know, the president's blaming the Federal Reserve. I'm not so sure.
George, sorry.
What's that, your jack-in-the-box just went off or what?
Yeah, my jack-in-the-box just went off. I had to shut it off. Anyway, a lot to talk about here. Yesterday, when the Dow rallied 400 points after Trump said, well, maybe we won't do all these tariffs on China, I commented the long bond yield was up only 1 basis point. And I was actually quite surprised today, down 800 points, Dow. It took everything, all the gains yesterday back. And tonight, I'm looking at the long bond yield again. Yesterday, I said, trust the long bond. Today, I'm looking here. The long bond yield just broke 2%. We are on a one handle here on the 30-year Fed.
We are just holding on, Mish. We are simply just holding on. An apple a day may keep the reaper away, especially when enjoyed with a cup of hot tea. A new study finds that eating foods rich in flavonoids, a compound found in high concentrations in foods like apples and beverages such as tea, lowers one's risk of death, particularly among heavy drinkers and smokers. A California man died after collapsing during a taco-eating contest hosted by a minor league baseball team. Dana Hutchins, 41 years old, was given the Heimlich maneuver, but that didn't save him. He was dead on arrival at the hospital. Jeez, crazy story. Story that I had yesterday, a new study examines the relationship between heart attacks and fast food chains, where they are located. Heart disease, including heart attacks, are one of the leading causes of death around the world. A diet full of fast foods, which are commonly high in saturated fat and salt and low in nutritional value, has previously been connected to heart disease. But a new study out of Australia finds that living in an area with fast food chains directly increases the likelihood of heart issues. Let's check in with Christian Wild. He's the author of Hidden Causes of Heart Attack and Stroke and Miracle Stem Cell Heart Repair. Boy, let's move away from fast food stores, huh?
Oh, I'll tell you what. But if they're having this problem in the Netherlands, the severity of damaging effects of fast foods has to be massively worse in cities in the United States where two or three or more of these restaurants can be found within a short distance, a very short distance from our homes, schools, or our place of work. The food is tasty. It's quickly available and inexpensive. We got time to grab a hamburger, somebody will quickly tell you. The problem is our young people may be unaware and visiting these eateries for the next 20 or 30 years of their lives, unaware of a price they may one day pay with clogged arteries, heart attacks, high blood pressure, diabetes and strokes, and even premature death.
Moderation, Christian. Moderation.
Moderation, yeah. Doesn't hurt us every now and then to have one. But
Not at all.
One other study, George, in Singapore in 2012, as I saw in Science Daily, worth noting, was that fast food intake increases risk of diabetes and heart attacks. And here's how they broke it down. For people eating fast food 2 or 3 times a week, the risk increased by 50%, and the risk climbs to nearly 80%. for people who consume fast food items 4 or more times a week. The point here I think we can garner from this information would be how much pain, suffering, financial costs, and early loss of life could be eliminated by eating a more natural, less fat, cholesterol, and elevated food and blood pressure sugars like sugar and salt. And like the man said, we pay now or we pay later.
Absolutely. And you are doing something for our listeners. I've never heard somebody doing this before, Christian. You have a book out called Hidden Causes of Heart Attack and Stroke. You are so concerned about the safety of people. Tell us what you're doing.
Well, George, on occasion, somebody will buy, like a gentleman 2 months ago, he said if I would give him a discount, he would like to buy 25 books. I said, what do you want them for? He said, for my friends and family. I believe I can save their lives and extend their lives. I said, absolutely. I'm not in this just for the money. And then another lady just bought 10 books. So I got to thinking, I will, if somebody wants to call in on 866-STEM-123, 866-STEM-123, I will give you Hidden Causes of Heart Attack and Stroke for whatever you tell me you can afford to pay.
Are you kidding?
No, George.
I just have a quarter. Can I get a book?
You have it.
Jeez, Chris. Okay, you know what you're doing.
You get a quarter of the book.
Phone number is 1-866-STEM-123. Thank you, Christian. I hope you help our listeners. That's amazing. Arizona police arrested a mother who had left her baby in a hot car while shopping in a Target store with three other children. Officers responded to a Target store in Chandler, Arizona, 25 miles south of Phoenix, where a baby was locked in the car, crying, sweating, and the car wasn't even running, no air conditioning. Jeez. Even in the Arctic, microscopic particles of plastic are falling out of the sky with snow, according to a study there. Scientists said they were shocked by the sheer number of particles they found, more than 10,000 of them per liter in the Arctic, which means that even there, people are likely to be breathing in microplastics from the air, though the health implications remain unclear. They're out to get us all, aren't they? We're going to be talking more now with Anne Louise Gittleman about her work. She wrote a book some time ago called Zapped, Why Your Cell Phone Shouldn't Be Your Alarm Clock and 1,268 Ways to Outsmart the Hazards of Electronic Pollution. We're going to be talking about 5G technology and some other EMF issues next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Amazing show for you for the entire night, of course. Visionary health pioneer and author of more than 35-plus books, Anne Louise Gittleman with us, PhD, has been on the front lines of integrative and functional medicine for more than 40 years. Always on the leading edge of health and healing, she considers herself an accidental activist when it comes to electromagnetic fields, EMFs. And with the addition of 5G, Gittleman warns we will be living in an even denser electrosmog soup. And welcome back to the program. This is something I've always wanted to discuss with somebody, and you're the person.
Well, good evening to you. I hope I can bring some good news after the disastrous events in Philadelphia.
Oh, my gosh. It just seems to be happening all over the place. We can't get away from it.
No, it does. Now with the coming 5G, we've got another environmental assault. But I must tell you, I was very, very grateful for the wonderful interview you did with my partner several weeks ago. Do you remember James Templeton? And
I sure do.
Well, it was a wonderfully inspiring interview. He's my health partner in everything health and healing.
Well, that's great. And the story I just had before you came on about these plastics just floating in the air, what is that all about?
Well, that's what's going on. We've got plastics, we've got parabens, we've got pesticides, and many of these elements are called xenoestrogens, George, so they affect our hormones. They're known as hormone disruptive agents. And we're being exposed to them just as much as we're being exposed to EMF, so that's why detoxification and keeping your body as strong as you can as an invincible fortress is more important now than ever before.
And, you know, when you were on with me back about a year ago, we talked about Zapped, your book about cell phones. Has anything changed since then?
Well, what has changed is that everything that I wrote, and the book was written in 2010, so we're about 20 years past that, which means that it's gone so very quickly.
Sure has.
Everything that I wrote in there seems to be coming true, and that is that EMF seem to be, George, the root cause of many mysterious symptoms, from fatigue to depression to insomnia to digestive issues to dizziness to heart palpitations and memory loss. And we have finally found one of the real reasons that this is occurring, and this is what the big news is. Apparently, there is a real issue with calcium metabolism when you're exposed to all of these EMF fields, and it's the calcium metabolism that's really at the root of so many of our symptoms, because it enables calcium to be dispersed into the cell where it's like putting gasoline on a fire. So we're being very disruptive with our communication. We're leaking calcium, which means that our neurotransmitters aren't working well. And it's one of the reasons, George, that as a nutritionist, I'm seeing a great need for magnesium, which is the sister mineral of calcium. It's one of the reasons that chronic anxiety is the disease of our time.
I take 500 milligrams of magnesium every day.
Well, that's a good start, but what I recommend to people is that they take 5 milligrams per pound of body weight. So I don't know how much you weigh, but I'm thinking 800 milligrams would be even better for you, because we need to keep you in tip-top shape.
Okay, I'll work on that. And I also found that magnesium was good for your heart, isn't it?
It's good for all the elements of EMFs in terms of insomnia as a sleeping pill, for headaches, for migraines, for heart palpitations, very definitely, for arrhythmia, for dizziness, for fatigue, for weakness, for memory loss, is exceedingly important. And we're so very deficient in magnesium, and I think it's because of this loss of calcium intracellularly that we discovered, thanks to the pioneering work of a professor emeritus at out in Washington State University, to be exact, Martin Paul, that talked about this. He actually discovered that low levels of EMFs activate what they call the voltage-gated calcium channels. And from there, there are all kinds of downstream biological effects. That's where the oxidative stress, the depletion, the infertility, and cancer is coming from. And I know that you have a personal relationship to a situation with brain cancer.
Yeah, my sister passed away from that.
Yeah, and what I started seeing so many years ago were that so many of my clients and patients were coming down with all kinds of degenerative diseases, as well as brain cancer, pancreatic cancer, prostate cancer, and now there's a veritable epidemic with thyroid and liver cancer.
Explain what EMFs are and how they affect people.
Well, they're electromagnetic fields that are emanated from everything electrical. So they're coming from our cell phones, our wireless networks, our cell and broadcast towers, our fluorescent lights, even the electrical systems that power appliances, our computers, our bedside alarm clocks, our smart meters, as well as our baby monitors, which have the highest degree of EMFs perhaps in the entire house. So the idea here is that we're affected 24/7. By a veritable, unprecedented number of strange frequencies and wavelengths. And when I wrote the book 10 years ago, I discovered that we're exposed to at least 100 million times more EMFs than our grandparents were. So it's flowing around us, it's flowing in us, it interferes with the very electrical forces of life, and it really appears, I'd say that it interferes with the communication between our cells that tell us how to grow, develop, divide, and even when to die. So the point being is we're in an electromagnetic soup, and with upcoming 5G, that will be even more intense.
We've got Wi-Fi, cell phones, computers. We've got this all over the place. I mean, we can't walk around with Faraday cages all around us, can we?
No, you really can, and that's what makes everything so inconvenient, quite frankly, when you start talking about these things. It's why I feel we have to take protective measures, and, of course, limiting your exposure is one of them. But one of the most important protective measures that I think as a nutritionist people have to realize is that they should be taking a product called hemp seed oil. Are you familiar with
it? I sure am. Absolutely.
So what I tell people as your new mantra as we approach 2019 and beyond is that it's hemp, hemp, hooray. And we've now noted that there is quite a lot of new research that suggests that hemp can actually absorb radioactivity and that the hemp seeds are very good for your cells. So on a daily basis, I tell everybody to take at least 2 tablespoons of the hemp seed oil, so it strengthens the cell membrane, so you're not going to be leaking calcium because of the EMF connection.
All right, stay with us, Ann. We're going to come back in a moment and talk a little bit more about EMFs, then we'll get into 5G and what we should or should not be concerned about. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Ann Louise Gittleman with us as we're talking about fighting off these EMFs, electromagnetic frequencies that are just bombarding us from all over the place. And which other foods do you think, other than the hemp seed oil, could help you?
Interestingly enough, the most important herb for this and most important food stuff would be rosemary, George.
Really? The spice?
Yeah. There's a lot of good research to talk about rosemary. So fresh rosemary, very important when you're grilling or broiling or marinating, number one. Number two, the essential oil rosemary to put into your shampoo at night, very important. It'll get right into the brain area or right into the head, very important for that reason. And it's been known to be very effective in preventing leaks from the blood-brain barrier.
Interesting. So you said use the herb rosemary, use magnesium as much as you can, and hemp seed oil.
Hemp puree, yes, indeed.
Okay.
And beyond that, there are other foods, one of which, believe it or not, is America's most popular beverage, and that's coffee, would you believe?
Well, I've never really been a coffee drinker.
I haven't been either until I recognized that there was some really good research about the caffeic acid. And I think that that's very important to note. So it's an important antioxidant, which has been shown to be very effective in preventing against electromagnetic frequency affecting the body.
If I were Starbucks, I'd use that as a promotion.
I think you should, but you need the best coffee. It needs to be organic, not a cup of pesticides. It needs to be mold-free. Needs to be high antioxidant with lots of chlorogenic acid as well. It's a weight loss, it has a weight loss effect, but it's also very important to protect against electromagnetic fields, as well as whey protein. I'm sure everybody is taking a whey drink in the morning these days.
We'll take calls with you next hour, and let's talk about 5G. Exactly what is it? I know my cell phone right now is 4G. I see it up there at the top. What's 5?
It's the next generation of cellular technology.
Used to be 3, obviously,
right? Used to be 2. I remember when it was 2, and every 10 years they seem to roll out a different cellular technology. So the idea here is that there are no real testing that's been going on with 5G. It's being rolled out without any biological test to prove that it's safe on animals, on human beings, or even in nature.
What's really the difference between 4G and 5G in terms of safety?
Well, it has different types of waves, George. The 4G has the microwaves. This has a different type of wave.
Uh-huh.
It hasn't been really used on humans before, at least not publicly in the environment. And that is a kind of millimeter wave. So we don't really know how it's going to affect us, quite frankly. And in order to utilize the 5G, it's going to be sited with a 4G antenna, which means you're going to have a densification of antennas all over the place.
Technically, what will a 5G do in terms of its performance?
Faster download and better connectivity.
And that's what people want. They want speed, don't they?
They want speed at the risk of their health. Yes, indeed.
So you send a text, it'll be even faster than it is now, which is pretty darn fast.
Right, but we don't really need it, do we?
And I think we're fast enough right now. But we'll find out with phone calls to see if people want to go with 5G.
And they basically, the idea here is that it isn't completely rolled out. It's still being developed. It's still in the developmental stage. And there's a lot of confusion about what it involves and whether it's, in fact, arrived in certain cities. But what we're finding is when they try it out in certain cities, people get all kinds of EMF symptoms. There's a lot of problems with headaches and nausea, ear ringing, dizziness, as well as problems with digestive issues. So we know that whatever's happening with 4G starts to become even more magnified.
I know they're rolling out 5G, but how soon will it really get out there?
Well, we don't really know. I know that in the tests that they've done recently in Geneva, Switzerland, they had to stop because people were getting so sick. So that's certainly not a good sign.
Hmm. Any new research out there that really should scare us?
The only thing that really should scare us is this calcium issue that I spoke about, which is exceedingly important because calcium is the glue of your cells, and that's the Martin Paul research that was revealed in 2013. So that means that if you have leaky calcium in your cells, your transmitters, your neurotransmitters are not going to be firing properly. It's probably the reason there's so much ADD and ADD, digital dementias. Now we have an official disease called digital dementia, why there's so much panic, depression, and the inability to focus. So I think that's really the kicker out there. There was some new research in 2018 where it showed some toxicology tests just demonstrated that there's a real risk of cancer when you're using any kind of EMF device.
And if we've gone from 2 to 3 to 4, now to 5G, when do we go to 6G?
Well, that's the question, because every 10 years they seem to roll something out. But consider this. In 2G, which was rolled out in about 1996, there were 17,000 antennas, George. 3G came out 10 years later, 2006, we're up to about 190,000. 4G, which we all have now, it's 200,000. They're feeling that when it's 5G and beyond, we'll go to 13 million.
13 million?
Because you need an antenna every 4 to 10 feet from your homes.
Every 4 to 10 feet?
The better connectivity, yes, which means you'll have all kinds of lovely and environmentally beautiful poles near your home so that you can...
4 to 10 feet?
It's about 4 to 10 homes, actually. Mm-hmm.
They'll be all over the place.
That's right. And some researchers are talking about siting these antennas every 3 to 12 homes in residential areas, so that it'll be at every single block in downtown.
Will we still have 4G, or do they eliminate that?
No, they don't. Right now, they're not eliminating it. See, in order for 5G to activate, you still need the 4G, so that's where the densification comes into play, and that's where all the EMF symptoms become even more intense.
How far are we advanced than other nations? Has anybody else come out with 5G? Do we have any case studies already?
Well, we know that when they introduced it in Geneva, people had problems. The people now in Brussels, there's a moratorium to stop the 5G rollout, and other countries are now going the same route.
Really?
Yeah, so there are real issues that are now emerging. And again, introducing like 5G to the public without any single biological test is like making a drug available without a test to prove its safety. So you don't do that, if not if you're responsible.
Why isn't any scientific arm coming forward, maybe they are, I haven't heard about it, to try to get this stopped, or some kind of legislation to say enough is enough, this has not been tested, this could be a disaster, we don't need it now? Why isn't anybody doing that?
That is such a good question, and they are doing it. I mean, they've gone to the United Nations, to the European Union.
Who's they?
About 140 different scientists from all over the world have gone and issued petitions. And there was recently a meeting, I think it was in February or March of this year, that the Congress held, where all the telecom executives were there, and they just boldly suggested that they had no testing to prove the efficiency of 5G, and nobody questioned them.
Economically, Ann, why are the cell phone companies doing this? Are they going to make more money, sell more phones, things like that?
Absolutely. It's a trillion-dollar industry, and from what I understand, the cell phone industry is six times that of the pharmaceutical industry. So you can imagine the multi-trillions of dollars that this is going to...
So everybody's going to run out and want to get a 5G phone once 5G is all over the place, you want it faster and quicker.
Yeah, but you can opt out. You don't necessarily... The only way that 5G is activated is if you have a device where you can hook into the antenna. So you don't need to get a 5G phone because you can still use your 4G. That's really what the caveat is here.
How dangerous is having a 5G phone with you on your body as opposed to a 4G phone?
Well, what we're figuring is because of the beam, because this is a more directed beam and it's more intense, and you're just exacerbating the risk of cancer if you're carrying it in your pocket. Then we've got lower sperm, we've got lower motility. If you're carrying it on your hips, perhaps problems with hips. I think that there are areas that are very disconcerting to people. So it's like the 4G on steroids.
The fertility rate for males has gone down. Could it be because of phones?
Well, many researchers believe that, and I do too. And it's not just the fertility rate among males, it's the fertility rate among females as well. And look at the breast cancer rates. And we talked about the problems with thyroid cancer now being almost epidemic in terms of people under the age of 20. So you've got non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, you've got pancreatic cancer, you've got thyroid cancer. I mean, this is the kind of thing we can look forward to because we're accumulating so many of these non-ionizing radiation frequencies. And it's a disease of accumulation, George. You know, a little exposure here and there is not a problem. It's that we're exposed daily to multiple devices.
You remember the VHS tapes for movies?
Oh, yes.
And then, of course, we moved to DVDs. And guess what? Everybody had to go out and get a DVD player. It's much like this, isn't it?
It's much like this, and the most disconcerting thing that I think we have to face is that we simply don't know how to affect our health, and that's what the issue is.
What about the animals, Ann Louise? You know, dogs that are outside all the time and stuff like that. Do we see any symptoms with them?
We see symptoms with the bees. I mean, many individuals feel that the exacerbated EMF epidemic has affected the beehives and the collapse of the beehives. So we're seeing that all over the place, and there are many environmentalists that really decry this kind of thing, with birds falling out of the air and that type of a thing.
If you take the three things you've already mentioned, that's the magnesium, the hemp seed oil, and the rosemary herbs, does that matter with 5G, or does it just help?
No, that helps because you're still protecting the cell membrane. You want to keep that cell membrane very fluid and very strong so that toxins don't leak in and calcium doesn't leak out. That's exceedingly important. And one other thing that I tell everybody, George, you know, it's not that we're just immersed in this non-ionizing EMF radiation. We're still getting X-rays. We're getting CAT scans. There's nuclear reactor emissions, fallout reactions as well that we're still exposed to. So I tell everybody at least twice a week to take a special bath to bathe away the radiation toxins, and that's the salt and soda bath that I learned, about 40 years ago from my teacher that worked with the atom bomb developers in New Mexico.
Now, when you talk about opting out, what does that mean, basically,
with this? What I'm saying is that you don't have to buy the device.
The 5G device.
So you don't have to. The only way that you get exposed to the 5G rays is if you have a device which activates it. So you don't have to get a 5G phone. I think we should all boycott 5G phones.
Well, can't you get bombarded, though, from it? Or do you physically have to have the phone?
You physically have to have the phone to have that activated. But you're still being bombarded by 4G, which is almost like the Trojan horse here.
Yeah, I mean, that's been going on for how many years now?
Well, too many years, because we started seeing all these deleterious problems with people's health. I'd say about 20 years ago is when I first started seeing it. And the only real root cause that I could figure out for not just my clients but for myself, because I had a parotid gland tumor, was the enormous use and exposure that we were getting to these electromagnetic fields. And when the original testing was done on cell phones, it was done with a 200-pound man who was about 6 feet tall that was using a 20-minute per day exposure. You're not doing that anymore. You're exposed morning, noon, and night is what the issue is. So it's not like lead or asbestos or tanning beds or any of the other public health issues of days gone by. You can't turn it off until you take other precautions.
This is truly unbelievable, Anne.
Yeah, it's unbelievable because we're so blissfully unaware because it's an inconvenient truth. When I first wrote the book and you and I chatted, and I think we chatted a little, I think it was 10 years ago, George.
Yeah, I think it was at least in the beginning.
And people were not at all involved with this, and people were so upset about me even talking about this. But it was because of enlightened self-interest. I had a parotid gland tumor. My patients weren't getting well no matter what I did. I prided myself on having every cutting-edge technology under the sun. So I had to look, you know, beyond the pale, so to speak. And that's when I found the EMF connection. And it wasn't tremendously alien to me because I had studied with a woman that taught me about the problems with radiation, regular radiation, the ionizing radiation from X-rays and airplane travel and emission from nuclear reactors. So this wasn't terribly alien, but, you know, I'm a nutrition major. I majored in nutrition, drama, and religion. So this is a whole arena where I was certainly out of my comfort level.
And what made you get involved in this aspect?
Because I was so frustrated not being able to help my people. And I had really prided myself in having everything that I considered to be cutting edge and avant-garde. I know the best saliva test, the best hair test, the best sputum test, the best stool test, you name it, I know the best testing. And I couldn't find any common thread that would explain the chronic anxiety, the fatigue, the aches and pains, the dizziness, and all the other things that we've been talking about that really connected all their symptoms. And that's when I looked into the research of Martin Paul, who is the Washington State University professor emeritus that I mentioned, and he talked about that calcium leak in the cells, and I thought that was the real kingpin.
Well, you've done some great work here, Ann Louise. Let's see what happens. I mean, is it then frustrating for you, or do you feel like you're making some headway?
Well, the interesting thing now is that we have this Internet Summit that's coming up. I think it's August 26th. I know that there's a link on the on your site there and Coast to Coast. So there's this Internet Summit where thousands and hundreds of thousands of people are going to learn about the dangers of EMFs and how to protect ourselves from the scientists that are doing the real work and the activists that are out there morning, noon, and night.
Interesting take. We're going to take phone calls next hour with Ann Louise Gittleman. In your books that you have, and you've got a lot, people can get where?
AnnLouise.com or Amazon.
Simple as that. AnnLouise.com, of course, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. You've been doing this for a long, long time. What was that very first moment that got you to want to start doing what you do?
I think it was the realization that I was named after my grandmother, Anna, who died of a mysterious illness that nobody could find a root cause for, George. I never knew her. She died at the age of 42.
Ugh.
And I think it was really that. I'd heard she was extraordinarily beautiful and talented and gracious. And nobody knew why she came down with her symptoms. She had a Parkinson-like disorder after a trip to the Catskills, and my father just said that she tried to commit suicide when he was coming home one day after school.
I've been saying for about a year, Anne, that people are acting weird.
Yeah.
Very strange. They're doing very bizarre things, mass shootings, which I think some of that has to do with pharmaceutical drugs.
Agreed.
But what are the possibilities that these bombardments of these EMFs are having on people's brains and whacking them out?
Well, that's where this new research by Martin Paul is so extraordinarily interesting, because you lose the ability to think clearly when you don't have the calcium as a basis for your neurotransmitters. So that's very much a possibility. People become dizzy, they become disoriented, they have brain fog. I think it's a great possibility. I'm not sure how you test for it other than taking a blood test to test your levels of calcium, but if anything is lower than 9.0, we know you've got a problem, because the symptoms of hypocalcemia are very similar to electromagnetic sickness or radiation wave sickness.
But can you feel it? Can you sense it too, like I do?
Yes, because I'm a canary.
I'm not a canary, but also road rage. I mean, I've never seen it at this kind of epidemic stage.
I see it all, and I think it's that constant bombardment. It's the sensory bombardment, which is why we don't need more sensory stimulation with getting faster downloads.
It seems to be making people a little more uptight.
Uptight, angry, and anxious.
And anxious. Anxiety is at an epidemic stage too now, isn't it?
It is, and I'm seeing the neurological illnesses are really one of the major causes of disease or ill health in this country in this day and age. So I think it's all connected to our EMF-loaded environment. It's kind of like the sweet poison. You can't feel it, you can't see it, you can't hear it, but you certainly can experience it.
How long does it take for an EMF to disrupt somebody's brain? What do you think?
About 2 minutes. I think
that's it.
What we found with some of the studies is if a child speaks on the phone for 2 minutes, his brain has a disordered electrical output for 4 hours.
Oh, my God. They're saying now with kids that because they're always playing with tablets, smartphones, and up close to their TV sets and stuff, that they're all going to get and need glasses way earlier than ever.
No, so that's a very true issue. And then, of course, there's the problem of what we call digital dementia. You know, a number of years ago, there was an interesting article in what I think it was Newsweek magazine, and it called the problem with digital dementia eye panic, where kids were panicky, they were depressed, they were anxious. And that if you took a scan of somebody that was addicted to the Internet and saw that scan, and you compared it to somebody that was addicted to cocaine or any other type of drug, it was exactly the same.
Wow, we're going to come back and take calls with you next on Coast to Coast AM.